Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
We have moved into a study of the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. And that is one of the most puzzling books, I suppose, for many people. And yet I'm confident that it is very valuable if we'll take the time to examine it and understand it with the help and aid of the Holy Spirit of God, who helps us to understand the word that He has given. Because obviously this book was not given by God in order to confuse us, but rather to inform us and to help us. And so it is well worth our while to find out why it's in the Bible and to find out the real reasons and the real reasons why it's there and the help that God intends for us to receive from it. And that, of course, takes some effort. It takes some digging. This is one of those passages that doesn't come just by a quick reading and a sweep across the surface. But we have to dig down a bit, and some of God's Word is that way. Some of God's Word has truth so clearly on the surface that hardly anybody could miss it, and other portions of God's Word have truth that's buried down further below the surface and requires a greater effort in order to understand what is there. But it is certainly worth the effort. It is the Word of God. And God is honored when we value His Word enough to make the effort. To refuse to make the effort is ultimately an insult to Almighty God, and we don't want to be guilty of that. And so, buckle your seatbelt, put on your listening ears, and let's move together through this wonderful Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, June 25. Thank you for the financial gifts that keep us teaching on this station. Well, as we have seen previously, Ecclesiastes is basically a series of examinations into the most significant elements of human existence. And as those elements are examined, the author, Solomon, writes his observations and some conclusions along the way, and others he reserves to the end of the book. So he tells us what he's doing and what he has discovered and what he concludes, and it's all there for us. We've also learned that the title Ecclesiastes is related to the New Testament term for church, ecclesia, assembly, and it is the equivalent to the word preacher that's found in the opening verse and other places throughout the book, and it is one who gathers and addresses an assembly. The author of this book calls himself a preacher. He gathers an assembly of people, and he preaches to them. He shares his findings after he has explored these various areas of life and what is the meaning of life. And so he is the preacher. He also describes himself as the son of David and the king in Jerusalem. We saw all of that in verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. Next, we come to the opening discourse. It opens very quickly. The introduction is not long. It's short. And the author plunges into his first discourse, we might say his first sermon, which starts with a very familiar phrase. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And thus we are introduced to a word that is used more than 30 times throughout this book, is used more than any other word in the book, but the second phrase that's found frequently in the book, the first one is a word, vanity, the second is a phrase, namely under the sun, and that's used just under 30 times. And so both of those are very significant, and we'll come across them repeatedly as we move along. But this opening discourse asks the question, verse 3, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? He's looking into the purpose of human existence, the meaning of life, and the first question is, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? That's an introductory question, and it's followed in verse 4 by a statement about the brevity of life. One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. So when you put those two things together, and I go back and read them again, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? People work day after day after day after day. They toil, they labor, they struggle, and then life comes to an end relatively quickly. Even if you live a long life, in terms of eternity, it's certainly short. And so the brevity of life, one generation passes away and another generation comes. And when you put these two ideas together, it does sound very pessimistic. It sounds like people just work hard all of their lives and die, and what is the reason for it? What's the profit from it? What's the value of all of this? It seems rather senseless in some ways. Now, after telling us in verse 4 that the earth abides forever, one generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever, this contrast between the earth, which goes on and on and on, generation after generation after generation, and human beings that live relatively short lives and die, and of course are replaced by those who follow them because the human race endures, it keeps going on, but people are cycling through rather quickly, but the earth itself lasts for a long, long time, and there are three illustrations of the earth's endurance. And again, the earth's endurance is set in contrast with man's transience. Man's failure to endure very long, set over against the long endurance of the earth, which, of course, though it is not eternal, and we really don't know how old it is, how long it has endured, it certainly seems to us like it's been here a long time. You can't really understand all of the ages that have gone before, and presumably the ages that will come after, though nobody knows how many of those there will be. But the earth just keeps going on and on and on and on and on, whereas people are born and they die. They're born and they die. They're born and they die. I don't know how much you think about death, but all of us would be wise to think about it at least sometimes, not to get a morbid fixation upon it and think about it about all the time, but there's two extremes. There are some people who do have a morbid fixation upon death. That's not healthy. But there are other people, and maybe a greater number, I really don't know, who push it out of mind and won't think about it, as if somehow not thinking about it makes it go away and it's not going to happen. But of course it will. And those who don't think about it are generally not prepared for it when it comes, as it inevitably will. It's going to come. Someone has said there are only two things that are absolutely inevitable, and they are death and taxes. And I would say, though taxes are pretty certain, even they aren't as inevitable as death. Death happens to everybody in every society, in every place, in every culture, no matter where they live, whereas taxes can be evaded occasionally by some people in some places, but death never is. Never is. So why would we give so little attention to the one thing that is absolutely certain? There are a lot of things in life that are uncertain. We can think about them, we can plan for them, and they may or may not happen. A lot of people plan for a comfortable retirement, and they have certain things in mind that they want to accomplish in retirement, but unbeknown to them, unplanned by them, unexpectedly, things intervene, and they don't arrive at that comfortable retirement. Sometimes don't even live to retirement. Other times they arrive there in bad health and can't carry out the plans that they had, that they made for this project, that project, this relocation, that series of traveling to distant places and all of the many things that they wanted to accomplish, but it doesn't happen. And there's so many things that way. We can think about them, we can plan for them, and they may never happen. Some people plan for all kinds of health issues that maybe never will come. It's not a bad idea to be planning ahead so that if this happens or that happens, you've got some kind of plan in place for what you're going to do. But a lot of these things never happen. I know people who've made fairly expensive and elaborate plans for what they'll do if they end up needing an extended period of extensive care, health care, in a skilled nursing facility or whatever, which can be tremendously expensive. And so people will sometimes, at great cost, make elaborate plans for that, because even though it may cost a lot to plan for it, it's not as expensive as it happening without planning for it. It can certainly wipe you out. But people will give a lot of attention to things like this, and yet no thought, no attention, no planning for death, no planning for funerals, as if somehow that's not going to happen. I know people who are intelligent and Christian people who shouldn't fear death, and yet it comes time to die. Maybe a couple and one of the spouse dies, and you start helping them with their arrangements and funeral and so forth, and find to your surprise that they have made absolutely no plans. They don't have a cemetery plot. They don't have any relationship with a funeral home. They, people who are financially comfortable and could have planned these things, but just push it out of mind, how foolish that is. And so that's one of the purposes for the book of Ecclesiastes, is to try to help us to think about these things. And so here we've got it. In the opening, what profit has a man for all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Think about that. Think about where you fit into that, and think about your plans for the certainty, not the possibility, the certainty, the inevitability of your death. We'll talk about it some more tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.